All right, good evening. We're about to start the webinar, and today's webinar is Healthy Ways for Children to be Involved in Competition, Sports, and Extracurricular Activities. I'm going to switch over to the desktop. Okay, so there we are. Healthy ways for children to be involved in co-curricular activities. But the first thing I want to deal with and just chat around is extracurricular activities. Now, your day can start off one way. It can start off by picking up your children from school at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, riding your son to soccer practice at 5 o'clock, then your daughter to dance by 5:30, then you drive to the grocery store and you pick up the food for the week, only to drive back to soccer to pick up your son and then hurry back home to pick up your daughter from the dance. You get home at 8:30, make dinner for your family while your children are doing their homework. They eat, take showers, lay their clothes out for school, and finally get to bed at 11:30, only to repeat this schedule every day for years and years. But have you ever sat back and asked if this is best for your kids or even for your family? Sport is a huge commitment and has numerous benefits. But let us not go into this commitment blindly. Be certain that the entire family is on board. So with this huge commitment, we need to ask questions regarding the goals of this commitment. Where do you want to get to? Do you want to play it for just this term, this semester, or do you want to play it for the year? Do you have some long-term goals? What level of competition do you aspire to? You want to become an Olympic champion one day? Do you want to make this a full-time job? How realistic are these goals? And maybe at this time, if you're just starting out, yes, have the dream and go for it. But need to have a check about the amount of time that will be invested in this extracurricular activity. And so I suggest that you as a family get together and you need to ask questions about what about this extracurricular, and how can we go about this extracurricular to make sure that we are close, that we have a healthy family lifestyle. And so some of the discussions that you could be having is ask the child at this family meeting to describe your ideal year. Now, always allow the child to give their input first. Because when you as adults give your input first, the child takes their cue from you. They are pleasers. They want to please. And they'll very often say something that they don't believe. But if you allow your child to go first and you allow them to have their say and ensure that they are in a safe environment, that they are not criticized and pulled down because of their ideal year. This is a dream. Be careful how you handle this dream of theirs. Then the reality check will come in when it's your turn as a parent to describe your ideal year, what you want to achieve within your work environment, how much time you'd like to spend at home, what kind of me time would you have, and so on. Then we go back to the child and we say, right, so what's the greatest challenge in your ideal year that you will have in regard to your schooling, the extracurricular that you are involved in, and with friends? And once they've had their say, then you as a parent can also go in and say, right, my greatest challenge at work for the family would be the following. And we put it out there so we know what is going on in one another's minds. It doesn't help just to assume that we know. It doesn't help for us just to put our heads down and just go day in and day out. If you do not plan your life, life will plan you, and you will have no control. You will be running around like a chicken without a head. And come the end of the year, there's going to be a lot of frustrations, a lot of snappy little comments that would have been made out of those frustrations, because you would feel controlled by circumstances. You would feel controlled by others' choices. And that's why having this family meeting is vital. And everything that is on the screen needs to be discussed. We need to discuss the goals, the perceived level of competition, the amount of time that's going to be invested. Please have your meeting. Now, when you have your meeting and you get to choosing an extracurricular, include the child. I know too many parents, they get the co-curricular activity from school and they go through it and then they tell the child, you're doing this on Monday, you're doing that on Tuesday, you do this, this, this. And the child's heart's not in it. Their passion is not in there. They feel forced. They feel coerced. They feel they don't have a say. And you know what happens. When a child does not have a say and they do not feel that they have some sort of control, they will fight for control. And you are going to drag this, dare I say the word, donkey with their heels dug in, and they are not going to move. They'll do sometimes just enough to stay out of trouble, but they will not buy into, they will not embrace this co-curricular activity if this is what you need to do with your child. If your child needs to get out there and do some exercise because you're concerned about health things, then point number two is a very good point. This is the nudge. This is the encourage. This is the have the chat and say, right, let's get involved. Where would you like to be involved? These are the advantages of being involved. These are the reasons why being involved is healthy for you. And it's not just about the co-curricular activity. It's also about the hidden curriculum. The hidden curriculum of being involved socially with people, of learning good sportsmanship, of learning how to win gracefully and lose without a bad temper. Then you need to chat to your kid, specifically at primary school, about what they're going to be involved in. And let them know that the choice that is being made is being made for the term, for the semester, that they are committed. They can't just go in and then leave, especially if there's a financial outlay on the one side. Not the only consideration. But sometimes parents will go out there, they'll do the financial layout, buy the kit, buy the equipment, and then the child goes and participates just once, and then because they just don't fancy, then they just drop out. If you're not sure if your child wants to commit to a specific sport and it's not going to be long-term, think carefully about where and what kind of equipment you're going to buy. Sometimes there are very good second-hand equipment available. And then say to the child, if you choose to go on and you choose to make this something more permanent, we can then look and discuss at upgrading the equipment at a later stage. Now, there are different children who have different capacities, and you need to allow your child to find their capacity. You'll have one child who only wants to be involved in a few things, and they are the kind of children that if they are pushed in to doing too many activities, they get tearful, they get grumpy, they just start to fall about at the seams because they do not have enough me time. They do not have enough recharge time. And these are the children that you need to allow them to choose fewer activities. If you are a high energy kind of person and are able to handle many activities, please understand that there are children out there who do not like to be involved in many activities. And doing one or two activities is perfect for them, and they're able to keep their balance, they're able to keep their smile on their dial and have fun with a few things that they are doing. Then you get the other side of the coin. You get those energizer bunnies, those guys that just get involved with a whole bunch of activities. They want to do something Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you could run yourself ragged. That's why that family meeting is important. However, there are children who love to take part in many activities. In primary school, in primary school, where the child is still developing a sense of what they can do and what they can't do, and let them get involved. Remember, though, when they commit to something, it's for that specific season. But make sure that the barometer of a smile on the dial is there, that they are enjoying it and that it is fun. If the smile starts to drop, then we need to get together, have the chat, and say, right, why are you feeling overwhelmed? Why are you feeling? You're feeling too busy. Now, that's going to happen because you don't know your capacity until you have overstepped your capacity, and then you pull back. So sometimes people don't know what is too much until they've done too much. And that's going to happen somewhere along the line. And that's why it's important for us as adults, as parents, educators, to be watching this child and watching out for the fun and enjoyment element. And that is vital. I've had it and I've seen it where we've gone to a child where the fun has been gone, and I said, I see the smile is off the dial. We're going to need to have a chat. And the child turned and put this plastic smile on their face and said, I'm smiling, I'm smiling, I'm smiling. To which I smiled back and I said, I'm so glad to see you're changing your attitude. However, I want to see that smile drop 6 inches. I want to see that smile drop off your face and into your heart. And if it's not come right within the next couple of days, we're going to have the chat about the number of activities that you are involved in. Right, the other thing you need to watch out for with children when choosing co-curricular or extracurricular activities is that there is time for playtime. There is free time and me time. I did a research in terms of me time and free time, and I came across a very interesting article put out by one of the universities. And the specific university turned around and said that they actually preferred first-year students who had had a gap year, who had gone off for a year and had gone and played, had their free time. Because when they came back, these people were more assured of what they wanted to do. They were more sure of the kind of direction they wanted to take in their lives. And you got to remember that even as children, at primary school level, that they have little dream worlds. They have dreams of what they would like to do. They like to have a little bit of time of being able to play. And we need to factor that in to their extracurricular activity. I think a lot of what's happened in today's world is that the parents are petrified of their children getting involved in the wrong things. They are petrified that there's nobody at home looking after the child. And so what they do is they then land up getting the child involved in everything because a busy child hasn't got enough time to get up to mischief. The downside of that is that a busy child can land up getting stressed. They can land up getting depressed, and they can land up not enjoying life. And then you have other problems and issues. So we need to find out what kind of a child we have. We need to factor in free time. And your child will give you that input. They will be the ones who will say, I want to be involved. I want downtime. And after a term or two, you'll be able to pick this up, and then you can adjust the co-curricular activities from there onwards. Please be careful that you as an adult are not living your dreams through your child. You wanted to become a top football player and you never quite got there, and now your little boy is going to become the national football player, and now you begin to push. Please do not push. I have seen children who have been pushed at primary school level, who have been pushed hard, and then when they get to high school, they've dropped out of all sport, no sport at all. And you can actually see they get to a stage where they've been compliant, and all of a sudden, one day when they get to their teens, they find out that they have a voice, they find out that they have a right to make a choice, and then this little compliant child of yours becomes a major problem because they now begin to react and respond in rebellion, in resentment, and revenge. And then they go and they do things just to get back at you because you forced them into some other direction that they actually didn't want to go into. Right, please be careful of the consequences of choosing the co-curricular. As we chatted earlier on, there is a ripple effect on the family. So one person's choice must affect them. The moment a person's choice begins to affect other members of the family, then go back to your family time and see to what level you will make those choices. The level of achievement envisaged, commitment, and the sacrifice that is going to be taking place. Very often, as parents, we sacrifice for our children. But we've got to remember that if we're sacrificing for our children and we are miserable, we need to go back to the drawing board. It is unacceptable to have a self-sacrifice where you are miserable. Your child then just gets to a position where they have an entitlement mentality and they then begin to believe that the world revolves around them. Please remember, a child needs to be able to come home after their co-curricular with a smile on their dial. They need to have a place where they can come home and talk about the game. They need to talk about what they learned on the field. They need to talk about things, but they need to come to a home where they feel safe, where they are not criticized and judged. We'll chat a little bit more about that further on in the next. Now, one of the big things we need to look at and be aware of is life balance. And there are many aspects to life. As you can see by that list on the screen at the moment, we need to have a balanced life. And my co-curricular is not the be end and end all of everything in life. Yes, I know there are people who have made it to the top of their sport, and they will tell you the enormous, enormous sacrifices that they have made to be able to get there. But invariably, those are choices made when the child is in their later teen years. They are in their end of their schooling, and they begin to make these choices for themselves, and they begin to understand the consequences. However, they need to understand that they're not going to just be the next Steffi Graf. They're not going to be the next Ernie Els. That they're going to need to have some sort of balance in their life, and you need to help them cultivate a balance and make them aware of balanced life. I'd like to now just move on more specifically and talk about sports. You as a parent are a powerful influence upon your child, absolutely powerful, because your values around sport will become your child's values. We know the adage that says the apple does not fall far from the tree. It is absolutely hilarious to hear a child repeat the words of a parent verbatim, and for the parent to almost get a total shock as they begin to see the mirror of their child in themselves, and the words that they have said, they actually get quite horrified, but they realize that those words are basically just coming from them. Your child is going to behave like you. If you rant and rave on the side of the field about the referee, if you criticize the coaches, your child is going to pick up the same. And therefore, you and us as parents need to understand that our villains will become our child's villains. And we have to be very careful on how we model and live our lives on the sideline. Absolutely important. And there are some of us, we really get hijacked by our emotions during the competition. I once read an article. I was coaching soccer, and I was reading an article by a coach, and he said, a coach that runs up and down the field is a coach out of control. And I think it's almost the same. There are many parents who are running up and down the side of the field, yelling and screaming at their children to do things. Eventually, the poor child is so scared to even try and do anything for fear of the parent carrying on the side of the field. And if that's you, then I'd like to ask you to consider, seriously consider, sitting farther away from the action, that you monitor your self-talk, that you guard your reactions, that you possibly place yourself in the referee's shoes. Rather go off and ask yourself, what are the life lessons for my child and myself from the bad calls that the referee or the coach could be making? We need to be very careful what we are saying on the side, because that which we say on the side, our children pick up, and they will become as well. And so we need to chat to our kids and to make them realize that when they sign up for sports, that they're there, and all the children do this, they sign up to have fun, to enjoy their friends, and to learn new skills, and to challenge themselves through the competition. None of them signed up for the sport to be judged, evaluated, and corrected. Look at those other three C's: criticism, complaining, and condemning. I think for most kids, if they realize that was going to happen to them, they might as well say, well, count me out. I'm not signing up for this. Most kids sign up for the fun, for the social interaction, to learn new skills, and to challenge themselves through competition. Competition on the field is fun. It's healthy. Competition in relationships is not on. Please, are you building your child or are you breaking your child down? Where do you want your relationship with your child to be in 4 or 5 years' time? Do you want to drift apart from one another, or do you want to grow closer to one another? And therefore, it is vital that we have a look at those long-term goals, because very often the way we behave ourselves short-term is the way that is just short-term, and we land up criticizing, complaining, and condemning. But then we actually shoot ourselves in the foot and we don't reach that long-term goal of growing closer to our child, of enjoying a sport with our child. Your child wants your approval. They want unconditional love, total acceptance. They need it. And if your approval and acceptance and a love appears to be attached to their performance, I want you to know long-term, the depth of your relationship with your child is going to be jeopardized. So we need to go back and say, right, these are the wants of my child. These are the reasons why my child signed up. They signed up to have fun. They signed up to enjoy their friends. They signed up for the new skills. They signed up to challenge themselves. But when we get pride in the way and we start to criticize and judge them because we want to walk around with our chest out and brag to everybody else and how well our children have done, we must be very careful we don't jeopardize that relationship. Please, ladies and gentlemen, let's rather go for the three E's. Let's encourage with affirmation. Let's educate with some good questions and edify them with words of encouragement. When we do these three actions, we send a message of hope. And that message of hope that they receive build up their little love tanks, build up their emotional tanks that says to them, you are excellent, you are intelligent, you are worthy of praise. I enjoy you. And it's not always about the level of competition. It's not always about the excellence of the skill. We've got to look at the value of participating in sports. And there are many. There's health. There is learning to win, learning to lose, learning to be good sportsmen, learning to work with other people in a social interaction. Let's remember these three E's. Encourage, educate, edify. And if we're not there, we've got to look at ourselves and ask ourselves, how can we get, what can we do? Most of all, when parents encourage the spirit, they educate the mind with life lessons, and they edify and build up the character of the athlete or of the sportsman. And when you do that, you're saying to your child, I believe in you. One of the biggest things that children have is the whole thing of acceptance. If they're not accepted, they will run around doing things to be accepted. Another big thing we can do is to go and be present. Sometimes we just don't go because our child is not at that level. But I've seen children at the lowest rung. I've seen them in the lowest teams. And when mom or dad come and stand along the side and just share in that experience with them how the child just goes for it and they enjoy it so much more and they tend to do a lot better when they know the love of their life is standing on the side of the field urging them, encouraging them. Let's be careful of the following lies and see if we can implement the following truths. There are three of them. They can create misery. Three lies. The first lie is I must be perfect. And when your child walks around saying they've got to be perfect, they're going to run themselves down. There is no one that is perfect. And so we need to change that lie. And we've got to say to them that you are human. And there is a valuable pathway to learning. And that they should rather have the pursuit for excellence. So let's take perfectionism out and replace that with excellence. Perfectionism always compares me to the very best, always compares me to something outside of me. That's perfectionism. Excellence is where I've done my best, my comparison to myself, my comparison with my passions, with my giftings, with my abilities, with my experience. That is what we need to go for. Excellence. And we can help children have more fun when they understand that they've done their best. And if there's room to be improved on, how can they go about it? But it comes from inside. It needs to be an internal motivator. When they turn around and say, I must be perfect, then lie number two kicks in. I'm only as good as I do. And so if we value the child only because of how successful they are, then we're going to break it. I remember a child coming off one of a rugby game, and in the dying moments of that game, he was tasked. This is a primary school child. He was tasked to kick the ball between the poles in order for his team to win. And he missed it. And his father dressed him down in public and told him that he was the reason why they'd lost that game. I have never seen such a disheartened child walk away in tears, devastated. I had to hold myself back that day. your value and the gifts were inherently placed in you at birth. You decide how you will use it. Now, I've never ever seen a child on a field do something wrong on purpose. He might not have been quite as focused. He might not quite have embraced it the way the coach would want it and where he needs to be. But I have never seen a child deliberately go out there and make a mistake. And yet so often coaches, parents tear into children because they haven't performed at the skill level of some professionals, which is totally unacceptable and it's just not fair. Right. Life should be fair. Life's not fair. Because some of us have got different gifts. You hear the story of the one guy was given one talent and another one was given five talents and the other one was given 10 talents. The good news is we're not capped at the gift that we were given. We can practice. We can improve. We can get coaching. We can up our skills level. Yes. But there are no shoulds. There is now. And you are free to choose how you will use your gifting. Choose wisely. Concentrate on your choices. Concentrate on now. And do not run around shouting, life has to be fair. It is not. You just have to see that when you run onto a rugby field. The people who make it in rugby are people who are big built. You can't get a tiny person running onto a rugby field and expecting him to perform at the same level as his fellow player who is just gifted with bigger muscles, bigger build. Yes, the little one can go and practice. He can harden himself. But when the two of them meet one another for a 50-50 ball and they need to tackle and dive in, the little guy's going to get hurt. That's just life. Life is not fair. Some people make it into the A team. Some people have got parents who are able to send them for coaching. Others haven't got. That's the way it is. Take the hand you were dealt with and play it to the best of your ability. Right, the last thing I want us to chat about is competition. The sad thing about competition is that many people win at sport, but then they lose at life at the same time. We have physical specimens who are intellectually unprepared, emotionally immature, financially irresponsible, and they're starting families woefully inexperienced at anything other than their sport. This is where I come back to the previous statement that I made earlier on. We need to have a balanced lifestyle. We need to have balanced input. We need to learn a whole range of skills in life. Because what happens one day if you are injured and you can no longer participate in your sport? Unfortunately, there are people whose whole life is just locked up in the sport. And their identity is locked up in that sport. And when that sport is no longer around, they find themselves in the depths of depression and the identity of who they are disappears. Take stock that when we take part in competition, there can only be one winner. And very often we are participating against many, many other people. It means that there are many, many other people out there who are not coming first. Yes, we play to win. Yes, it's good to be able to come first. However, we need to understand that not everybody can. And I think that's one of the good things about competition. It is a great leveler. It just makes people realize that. And so if a child insists on coming first or insists on winning and they are being miserable, we need to get involved and help them to address the mindset that is causing them to be so miserable. As long as you are training your smartest, building stamina and consistency, listening to your body, and enjoying the process, you have already won. These are life skills. Irrespective of what sport you're doing, irrespective of what field of study you're going into, if you're training your smartest, building stamina, determination, hard work, work ethic, persistence, consistency, regularly, you're listening to your body, you're making sure you're healthy, you're eating right, you're training, and come guys, and enjoying the process, that is when you win at life. Enjoy what you're doing, then you will win at life. Some big miscalculations in sport is that learning is not a top priority. The competition is, the winning is, the rankings are given more attention. And less attention is given on those qualities we've just chatted about now in learning. When you've got a learning mentality, you realize, I do not know it all. I do not know it all yet. You can then turn around and say, what did I learn today? Which is far more important than the question, did you learn today? What did you learn today? What did your body learn today? What did your mind learn today? What did your spirit learn today? There are so many lessons in sport. And unfortunately, too much focus goes in on the competition and the winning and the rankings. We need to learn new skills. And these new skills, they take time. Different people develop at different rates, at different speeds, at different times of their lives. I've seen it happen. I'm involved in athletics in the primary school environment, and I go and I watch them 5 years later where they're in high school, and those who were able to in primary school are nowhere. And those who are nowhere in primary school all of a sudden are somewhere in high school. And I stand there and I look and I say, wow, I never saw that coming. And then I begin to realize and just understand. Yes, we develop at different speeds and at different times in our life. One of the things we can do is we can help a child to cultivate a fighting spirit. Marcus Buckingham wrote in a book called Now, Discover Your Strengths. In it, he revealed that everyone has a few natural strengths from a list of approximately 34 possible themes that drive our behavior. And I'd just like to read a couple of those themes that he lists. Achiever, adaptability, belief, communication, competition. I'll read that description there. Competition, always comparing your performance to others. You like to win, and you may avoid contests where winning is unlikely. Deliberate, empathy, fairness, harmony, and the list goes on. Self-assurance, significance, strategic. These are things that are natural to people. And so you will find sometimes when there is competitiveness, you'll find that some people are extremely competitive and others are only moderately so, and others haven't got a competitive bone in their body. And so we're going to do our children no good if we turn around and compare them with competitors like Serena Williams. And say to them, you should be more like Serena Williams. You can have two children in the same household, and they will have different levels of competitiveness. They might both love tennis equally, but not have the equal amount of desire to win in a competitive environment. I'm going to make a generalization now, and I know it's a generalization. But I have observed generally that the male species tend to be more competitive, and the females tend to more want to do things for the fellowship, for the fun of it. And I know there are exceptions to that. But the competitiveness within guys is created in us. We need to get out there and win for our families. We need to get out there and win for the job. We need to get out there and make sure that we are able to look after our families. Mommy, you're the nurturing person. You're the one that's going to do things to develop and encourage. And so what I want to just say to both, dads, sometimes you need to back off a bit with your competitiveness. I was racked over the knuckles when my child was 5 years old. We were busy playing chess. And I kept on beating him. My wife turned around and says, "You've got to let your son win." I said, "No, he's got to learn to lose. He's got to learn to push hard." She says, "Yes, yes, yes, I hear you. But you're going to drive that desire out to win if you keep on beating him the whole time. Allow him to win at some time." Can you believe it? Here I am, an adult, getting my ego fucked up from beating a five-year-old. Well, luckily I took that to heart. And my son now, who's a good 24 years old, he gives me a good run for my money when we have a game of chess now. Our gloves are off, and we both love it, and we enjoy it. Your children want you to love them, and we need to love them where they're at. We can do is cultivate a spirit of learning. Everyone can learn. And how much we learn depends on how motivated we are. You can teach the importance and the benefits of hard work, why it always pays off, and what it looks like. But each person and each child will need to make a choice about the effort levels they are going to put into it. You see it all over. There are those who give their all, and others in a specific area will not give their all. But then their passions and their interests might be somewhere else. And you'll see them give their all there. So we cannot judge. We can only facilitate a platform around which children can enjoy sport, co-curricular activity, so they can develop. And so our role as parents is to love them, support them, witness their activities, and accept them, no matter what unfolds. Now I'm going to finish off by this. Again, I've said it already. We can have competition on the sports field, but no competition with relationships. Competition on the sports field is healthy. Competition within relationships, comparison within relationships is unhealthy. Well, that brings us to the end of our chat. And I want to say thank you very much for those of you who are listening and those who might listen to this recording at a later stage. God bless and keep well. Keep well. Look after yourself. Bye-bye.